White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. April 1943, Anzac Day, remembered for the first time in Palembang. We dressed up in our uniforms and stood barefooted in our house. The choir came too and helped us by singing. The service was taken by Sister Jean B. Ashton in memory of our friends and colleagues who had lost their lives 1 year before. We found this service very hard to take and decided never to hold another Anzac Day service whilst we are still prisoners. It is too moving for us. But I shall never forget the words, "We shall kindle in their hearts a torch whose flame shall be eternal." I can hear them now. Our rations are still cut, and what we do get is full of weevils and very loathsome. Vivian Bullwinkle and I had an antidote.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Those drains are getting harder to do day by day.
Oh, I know. I'm exhausted too tonight. It's so unutterably hot.
Yeah.
You feel as if you're breathing mouthfuls of hot cotton wool. Suffocating.
Hey, Shorty, stick the light out if everyone's ready to go to sleep.
Righto. Everybody okay?
Yes, thanks, Shorty.
Good night, kids.
Good night, kids.
Good night.
Good night is right. Doesn't seem to matter how tired you are, you can't sleep in this sweltering dump.
Oh, you know where I'd like to go when I get out of this?
No. Where?
I want to go to London.
Who doesn't?
Listen, why don't we go? We ought to have some pay coming to us, enough for a trip, if we're careful.
I'll be in it.
Oh, just think of it. London, the Strand, all the lights, all the ads and neons. The theatre's glittering like a Christmas tree.
Not now. You know, it must be awful for Londoners with the blackout. I don't think I could take that. The raids and the noise and everything. It takes guts.
Yes.
Let's go in the winter, when there's snow.
Did you hear that Dutch girl the other night talking about Holland in the winter? She said it was rather fun to take a train from The Hague to Amsterdam, an hour's trip, and skate home again along the ice-bound canals.
I know. Think of it. Ice.
When we go to London, Jeff, we'll stay in the largest suite at the Savoy with the biggest bathroom in the world.
We'd better have two bathrooms, Viv, one each. I don't think I'll ever be able to soak enough in a hot bath full of bath salts, bath essence, perfumed soap, and the luxury of towels. Oh, think of it. Great big coloured ones.
You know what? We'll go to the Dorchester and we'll order filet mignon. Smothered with mushrooms.
And of course we shall send it back if the mushrooms aren't large enough. Or the steak not just right.
Oh, but of course.
Viv and Jeff in Wonderland. It's just about as probable.
Well, I don't know. If we get out of here.
When we get out of here.
Let's begin with the palace. Hmm?
Oh.
We'll watch the changing of the guard. Then we'll have a look at Piccadilly and St. Paul's. We'll ride on the top of a red double-decker bus.
And, of course, go to Cartier's in Bond Street and buy a couple of diamond bracelets.
Oh, I don't know about diamonds. I think I'll have rubies.
Have both. And then back to the suite at the Savoy. Bath and change. Take off to a matinee. And then dinner.
Cocktails first.
Oh, of course. Cool amber ones. With olives in them.
And savouries with little coloured onions. We'll have gherkins and prawns and, well, you know, savouries.
Oh, my mouth's watering. I have to go and get a drink of water to stop the hunger.
Yes, I know, but it's a nice dream, isn't it?
Night, Jeff.
What were you two mumbling about in your beards last night? I thought I heard somebody talking about fillet steaks.
Well, Shorty, Viv and I were planning what we're going to do when we get out of here.
Oh.
And we're going to London to stay at the Savoy Hotel and eat filet mignon steak.
Fillet steak, anything would do me. And I wouldn't have to go to London for it.
Shorty, you've got no romance in your soul.
No, and I've got no food in my tummy.
Lord,
love a duck, I'm hungry.
Oh, when will we leave this awful dump? Here it is May and we're still here.
I'm getting used to not having any water much. But the latest thing is they've stopped that stingy bit of sugar we were getting.
Don't I know it. It's been replaced in the rations by bags of stuff which looks like decayed cow's horns.
Oh, that'll be nice. What is it really, Jeff?
Dried tapioca root. It's absolutely filthy, full of mildew and dirt and, I should think, utterly tasteless.
And when do we have this delicacy added to our menu?
Oh, tonight, I suppose. It was in the rations we sorted today.
You and your fillet steaks. You made me hungrier. And now you tell me I'm going to eat decayed cow's horns. That's lovely, that is.
Ah, oh, poor old Shorty, never mind.
C'est la guerre. Say what you like, Jeff. I know what I'd say.
What in the name of all that's wonderful is this, Mum?
That's the new stuff they've sent us instead of sugar. Dried tapioca root or something, Jeff said.
Oh, tastes like nothing on earth. Still, I suppose it's something to fill the aching void.
This is an odd bit of a meal, isn't it? Oh, hello, Jeff. Are you discussing the gay plague?
The which?
The gay plague. Oh. Now, that's the name of this stuff. Actually, you know, it doesn't make bad flour when it's been washed, dried, and pounded. We caught some of the kids having quite good fun with it, using it as chalk.
I wondered how the road was covered with drawings.
Well, you can't blame them thinking it's chalk. But we're being served a barium meal for dinner.
I'll trust a nurse to think of that. You know, I'll bet when we get out of this, most of us will be in need of a barium meal. On this diet, we're sitters for ulcers.
Had anything else come in with the rations today, Jeff?
Yes, some odd, dirty, hard little yellow beans.
Oh.
And I mean hard, as the hobs of hell. I was told they were soya beans. And Mrs. Brookhart said they're terribly, terribly bitter.
Oh. Attention, Australia!
Oh, can't we even have a meal in peace? What is it this time?
You, Australia, have the crawls of the Canadian woman?
We moved them next door for her.
You will get them and give them to me.
Why?
You bring food, Paul, here to me.
I don't think you like it.
Give it to me. Now. Now! You will not ask questions concerning things that are not your business.
It is our business. She's our friend. What's happened to her?
She is going free.
What? But she was very ill in hospital in Palembang. Has she died?
Yes, Americano. I spit.
She's not an American. She's a Canadian.
All the same. Pigs. You will get the clothes. She's going away.
But she wouldn't go away without us.
Get clothes! and bring to guardhouse.
All right. But I don't like it.
Do what you are told, Australian pigs.
We had to bundle up Mrs. Leyland's clothes and hand them over. We couldn't imagine what had happened to her. We knew she'd been very ill, but surely would have heard if she'd died. We felt very uneasy about her, knowing the Japanese loathing for Americans and their stubborn belief that Mrs. Leyland was an American. A Dutch nun, Sister Pauli, the prettiest nun of all of them here in camp, is now giving us drawing lessons. We've been able to buy some paper from Mulwani, so we can draw and learn to paint with Sister Pauli's small tin of paints. So far, the results are quite promising. Pat Gunter is good. Looks like a hidden talent coming to the fore. It's pleasant to sit using bright colors and talk idly.
I'll never make an artist. The more I try and shade this tree, the more it looks like a birch broom in a fit.
I'm not too good, but I like it. How are you going, Jeff?
I have just drawn a palembang fowl.
Ah, let's have a look. Oh, I don't know. I didn't think they were quite as long in the legs as that.
Oh.
But at least it looks like a fowl of some sort.
Well, how are the artists?
Oh, hello, Viv. You going to join us?
Oh, not today. I just heard something. You know that German woman who was in camp with us?
Yeah.
Well, she's been given her freedom.
Good grief. How?
She's gone to work for Jap officers at the ex-Burgermeister's house as housekeeper overseer.
Props, what a title.
Oh, gosh, I'm so hungry.
I know, Viv. There's only those awful little hard beans and dried cow's horns again.
Oh, no, wait a bit. There were some new things came in today. Looked like grey cuttlefish.
What on earth would they be?
I wouldn't know. But Dutch Joss and I had to ration them out, so I suppose we'll be getting them tonight or tomorrow. Well, anything would be better than those beans. They give us colic or diarrhea, and the other stuff, the gayplek or whatever it's called, has the opposite effect.
Oh, well, that's what you call a well-balanced diet. Well, there you are. What do you think of that? My masterpiece.
Hmm? But what is it? I suppose I've got it the right way up, have I?
You don't have to hold Shorty's paintings the right way up. They're modern art. You know, interpretation of design through color out of great inspiration.
Sounds like a racehorse.
I'll have you know that is the Union Jack.
Well, I'll take your word for it, Shorty. But you better hide it.
Sister Pauli showed infinite patience with our efforts and was most generous, letting us use her precious paint and pencil. I've kept some of my drawings hidden in my diary. Sister Pauli says they're not bad. I used to look forward to our drawing lessons and attended every one I possibly could.
Tenko!
Hide your diary.
Why, what's happening? There's going to be another search. They're calling us out to Tenko now, and they'll keep us standing until they've gone through everyone's belongings.
Well, I'll throw it up on my pillow. Get some of the other kids to do it. I won't be long.
Tenko!
Heaven alone knows what they're searching for. We have nothing left of any value or even any private papers except my diary. And I must hurry and hide it. It is now the 25th of June. My diary has been sewn up in its little pillow for quite a few weeks because the searching through our belongings went on. Nothing much has happened anyway, except that Ioli was suddenly whisked away last week to hospital. I expected her back yesterday, so I mended and washed her shorts and sun top and borrowed the only iron in the camp to press them. But she didn't come back. She's all right, apparently, but staying for another week for observation. We've decided to stop cooking in one large group. It's getting too much for the two duty cooks to cope with.
What do you think about splitting ourselves up into small gangs of two or three and do our own cooking?
I think it might be a very good idea, Blanche.
Kongsi.
Aye?
Kongsi. That's the camp word for small group.
Whatever the camp word is for it, I think it's a good idea. We're all beginning to get too tired. Cooking days are the end.
Hello, you two.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello. You at the meeting about cooking arrangements?
Yes, Jeff. We begin tomorrow, don't we?
Yes. Heaven knows where we'll get our pots and tins from.
Oh, gosh, that is a problem. We're desperate enough now.
Yes.
Is it raining heavily enough for a shower?
Yes, it's raining cats and dogs. And there's a new leak on the corner gutter.
Oh, I'll go out then. Maybe a shower will make me feel better.
What's that, Blanchie? Malaria?
Oh, no, it's this darned ear and my throat's playing up a bit too.
Well, I think you ought to be careful you don't get any water in it. That won't help it.
I'll watch it, Jeff.
Poor old Blanchie. She's had a lot of trouble with that ear.
She's losing the hearing of it. I notice every day if you get on the wrong side of her, she hardly ever hears you. By the way, how are your teeth, Sadie?
They feel like the Janolan caves. Uh-huh. I think I've got one filling left.
Dear, oh dear. I do hope we don't have to go home toothless, as well as scraggy.
Hello, Jeff. Hello, Blanchie.
Hello, Trotty.
Oh, hello, Trot.
Try lying on your crook ear, Blanchie. Oh. Good day, Trot.
Is Blanchie's ear bad, Jeff?
Yes, and her throat. She's got some awful infection.
Is there anything I can do, Blanchie?
Nothing any of us can do. She wants medical attention. She's got Buckley's chance of getting that.
I thought Iole would have been back.
I did, too. I'm getting worried about her. She's been in hospital too long now.
Oh. Joyce Tweedle is down with dysentery. She looks as if she'll be going to hospital next trip.
Here, hold this little pillow up to it. Haycock's supposed to be warm, isn't it?
Stop making a talk, Shorty. She'll only aggravate her throat.
Oh, it's warm enough. It's on fire.
Wait a minute. I've just had an idea.
Where's Trot gone off to?
I don't know. Just dashed up. There you are, Blanchie. I've mended your sun top. Poor thing looks a bit of a wreck, but it's the best I can do with it.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
Here, I'll give it to you. Don't get up, Blanchie.
I thought I remembered having a wee bit of salt left. There's only a grain or two, Blanchie, but you could gargle with it.
Oh, thanks, Trot. You're a pal.
It makes me so mad that we haven't got anything to nurse with. Not even a painkiller. We just can't do anything.
Yeah. It's worse for us. As nurses, we know what can be done and what's likely to happen if nothing is done.
Yes.
Oh, well. Come on, Blanchie. Come outside and gargle.
Blanchie and Tweedy were bundled off to hospital on Wednesday. I don't know what treatment they'll get, but at least they can rest a bit. There are still rumors flying about. Woody dashed into the house the other night, bubbling over with news, and woke us up to tell us the latest.
Hey, kids! Kids, anyone awake?
We are now. What's up?
Oh, what's the fuss?
I've got news.
Good news?
Wonderful.
Well, don't just stand there hopping about on one leg. Tell us what it is.
Yes, well, I've been visiting with Mrs. Jennings, and the latest news is...
Well?
Go on.
Yes.
Write it out, don't think. Well, they say that Germany has signed an armistice with England.
Oh, is that all?
Really, Woody, why wake us up to tell us that?
Good night, girls.
Good night.
Well, is that all you can say? Don't you care? Or didn't you hear what I said? Germany has signed an armistice with England.
Right, so?
Oh, yes?
Good night.
Hey, what's the matter with you?
You're all steamed up in your usual bubble of excitement. And, Woody, you do believe anything you're told, don't you?
Oh, don't you believe it, then?
Frankly, no.
We can't believe that one, Woody. Be more than a camp rumor if it was true.
You know, I wonder what we'll say when someone walks in here and says, pack up, girls, you're free.
Being such an enthusiastic lot, you'd probably yawn and go back to sleep.
I can't imagine what I'd do right now if somebody walked in and said that.
You'd go back to sleep, dear.
But Woody, you don't believe that nonsense about England, do you?
Well, I... No.
I suppose not. It was all so exciting when the others told us. It was real, and I suppose I wanted to believe it.
Seeing's believing, I always say. Oh, well. Good night.
Good night, kids. I'm sorry I woke you.
Good night, Wardy.
Good night.
Night.
Another sister went to hospital today. Poor old Trot. That makes four of our girls in there now. We're so undernourished that anything we get in the way of a wog knocks us flat. Our clothing situation took a turn for the better the other day.
Hey, kids. Kids, look at this.
Oh, what now?
Really, the excitements are too much. What is it, Steady?
Mitch just gave me this to hand out between us.
Look. What on earth is it?
Blackout material.
Blackout material?
That's right. The guard just gave it to Mitch for us to make adequate blackout shades.
Well, what do you know? It's cotton stuff, isn't it?
That's right. Very smart color, Black. Quite the latest, I'm told.
What are you cooking up, Jeff?
Well, it seems a shame to waste this on blackouts, don't you think?
Oh, I don't get you.
Oh, we're so badly off for shorts. This would ease the position no end.
But Jeff.
No buts. Let's see who's using the needle and then borrow a pair of scissors.
But, Jeff, what about the blackouts? The nips will see we haven't made the shades and there'll be old Harry to pay.
Oh, yes, of course there is that.
We could make sort of little lamp shades to black out the lights.
Exactly. Huh. And have enough material over for quite a few pairs of shorts.
Well, we'd better cut out the lamp shades first for the light bulbs. Otherwise, you'll get carried away with yourself, Jeff. We won't even have those.
I'll round up some of the others to come and get stuck into Operation Blackout, huh?
Bring the scissors back with you, Steady. Mrs. Brookhouse will lend us hers.
Righto.
We worked like beavers to make those shorts. We cut them all out and then had a squad drawing threads from the piece of sheet to sew them with. But each having to wait their turn with a needle slowed things down a bit. It ran hot. However, in the end, we had very neat little blackout lampshades and very neat little pairs of shorts. None of us used as much material for them as we would have pre-war days, so it went much further. So far, we've got away with it, and the Japs are none the wiser.
Oh, blast the rain.
Oh, don't say that, Steady. It saves a bit of water carrying.
Oh, that's all very well, Jeff, but I don't want to get my new shorts wet. I feel so spick and span, and they're all jiggered up.
Oh, don't go out in it, then.
I've got to go on duty. Dr. McDowell's short-handed.
Well, there's nothing for it, old thing. Unless you put your old shorts on.
I can't. They took one look at these and fell to pieces.
Hey, has anyone seen Mitz?
Not since early this morning, Shorty.
Well, if you see her, tell her she's got to go to the guardhouse at 4 o'clock, will you?
What's on?
Oh, we're having a visit from a bunch of Jap officers. They want all the house captains present.
Oh, dear. I hope we aren't going to be hauled over the coals about the blackout material.
Oh, I don't know what it's about. Hey, are you on duty with Dr. McDowell, Steady?
Yeah, suppose I'd better go.
Well, look, I'll come over with you. I want to see her about this rash.
Oops, I'm sorry, Shorty.
It's all right. Don't mind me.
Hi, girls.
Hi.
Oh, I feel like a drowned rat.
Well, dear, you look a bit like one.
Oh.
What have you been doing? Wallowing in a mud hole?
No. Just scraping drains. I don't think I'll ever get rid of the stench of these drains as long as I live.
I know. Wouldn't it be heaven to lie in a bath and soak until you really feel clean?
Oh, don't, Jeff.
Come on, old girl. It's not as bad as all that.
It is. It's worse. I think I'm getting malaria, and that's such a nuisance. It's bad enough having so much to do without being sick and other people having to wait on you.
No, don't worry. We won't wait on you. You go and wash off in the rain and go and lie down. I'll give you my mattress to put over you till you're over the shivers. Come on, cheer up. We'll be out of this soon.
We better be, Jeff. We won't be out of it at all.
Woody is right. If someone doesn't come for us soon, I wonder how much longer we'll last in this festering hellhole.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.